Emily Elizabeth, and I'm the host of the What Fulfills You podcast, a show for and about individuals always seeking to be their best selves. On this show, we talk all about building the mindset, finding the right careers, creating meaningful relationships, and so much more. Welcome to the What Fulfills You podcast. Hello, hello, friends. Happy Tuesday. Welcome back to another episode of the What Fulfills You podcast. My name is Emily Elizabeth. I'm your host. And as always, welcome if this is your first time tuning in to the podcast. For today's episode, I'm bringing you some older sister type of wisdom. And I have on Adriana Naslowski. And she is very similar to me in the sense that she also wears a lot of hats. She's currently based in New York City and is an entrepreneur, business owner, and consultant. She's worked in luxury fashion for the past 12 years, and she is currently in the process of opening a wellness cafe in 2025, next year, here in New York City, which I'm so excited about. I feel like the concept is a chef's kiss and truly definitely something I'm personally aligned with, as most of you guys probably would be as well, because if you tune into this podcast, you're probably wellness and personal growth oriented. And this cafe is just something that I feel like embodies my personal interests, especially on the wellness side. But a little bit more about Adriana. She's lived in Milan for 2 years while her and her husband slash business partner built a brand from scratch, which is also known as Le Diplomate. And you can find all of the social links for her brands and everything she's worked on in the show notes. And on this conversation, we just touch on truly a little bit of everything, classic Emily approach. And she actually, funny enough, I met her in Milan exactly 2 years ago, I want to say, right around April 2022. I went to Paris and Milan by myself. It was my first international solo trip, and I've always wanted to see Milan. I'm, you know, very into fashion. I love big metropolitan cities, and I also really wanted to test my Italian and see how that was doing over there. And so I had a friend that was in Milan at the time for the weekend, I think, and he was like, hey, do you want to meet up with me and two friends? They're also New Yorkers. And I'm like, absolutely. And I remember the conversations that night. It was just so well-rounded, very globally minded is kind of how I would put it. And truly for me, I light up when I get to have these more expansive conversations. And I really felt like I had that at that time when I was in Milan visiting. And, you know, fast forward just a couple weeks ago, I was thinking about different guests I wanted on for Q2. And Adriana came to mind, and, you know, I've kept up with her on social media for the past 2 years. And, you know, I was like, let me just reach out and see if she would like to be on the show, because I truly think that she has shared so much wisdom on this podcast. And she's got a lot of experience as well in various things. And so if you love kind of the raw talk episodes I do on the podcast, or just in general, when I have women with a little more wisdom and could share some insights, if you love those kinds of episodes, you're going to also really enjoy this conversation with Adriana. So with that being said, let's welcome Adriana to the podcast. Well, Adriana, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, I'm so excited. We're picking up from basically Milan, where we met 2 years ago.
Yes.
Sporadically on my solo travels to Paris and Milan.
Yeah, which was very cool, by the way.
Yeah.
It's rare to meet somebody who's so excited and inclined to travel alone, because mm-hmm. it is so intimidating.
Yeah.
So that was really cool.
I remember I was telling you yesterday that I was inspired from that, like, evening conversation with you and Manu, and just how it was, like, fun to be around people that are also open-minded, understand the world beyond just New York and the US. Something I'm always encouraging my podcast listeners and my Instagram followers to really think about, because having been born and raised in a small town in Pennsylvania and then lived in a few different cities, I realized that was something that lacked and continues to lack in this culture.
Mm-hmm.
I guess maybe that's like where I want to start is, how has that been for you? Because I feel like you are one of those people, like even at coffee yesterday, just super easy to talk to. Like we can talk about so many things and just certain things that like you get as well. How have you experienced expanding your mind in that process? And like being, because you were born in New York. That's right. Yeah. So like You're from here too, but you've also, and you're fluent in Italian basically.
Yes,
yeah.
Now. Took me long enough.
Yeah, yeah. But like you've experienced a lot of things that I think you and I can agree, like not everyone within the US has experienced and or realizes is a thing.
Yes.
You know? And I think that is like a tier, many tiers up from just like the beginning.
Totally. I think that it's interesting because you really learn so much about yourself mm-hmm. when you're out of your comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so important to travel, mainly because it teaches you about yourself,
mm-hmm.
about how you interact with a new culture, with a new culture,
yeah.
communication skills, humor, food,
mm-hmm.
meeting new people. And so I hope this answers your question, but I think that that's what helped me gauge relationships and conversations and be able to put myself in those, I don't know, moments.
Yeah.
Just because I do have that. I mean, we lived in Milan for 2 years together.
Yeah.
And it wasn't easy in the beginning.
Really?
Yes. It was a little challenging because you're so used to being in the same city with, you know, your
that's
bodega.
So true. Yes. And that's
so true. Your things, your people, your places.
Yeah.
And so to put yourself in a new, very vulnerable
mm-hmm.
position, it's not easy. And how you recover from that and how you adapt is everything.
Were you fluent by the time you were living in Milan in Italian?
So,
I mean, I remember when I heard you speak 2 years ago, I was like, damn, like, that's like, well, I mean, like, it's awesome. Like, okay, like, yeah, like, you can definitely speak some, like, when you're married to someone where their native language is Italian. But like, I was like, she's like fluent.
Well, it did help that my husband and I, when we first started dating,
mm-hmm.
The majority of his friends were, I mean, not the majority, but there were many Italians.
Yeah.
And so during dinners together, they would all start speaking in English. And I said, please speak in Italian because it's the only way I'm going to learn.
Yes, yes, yes.
And my family is Brazilian.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that helped. So me speaking Portuguese and growing up in Miami, I spoke Spanish.
No way.
Yeah. And so I
Didn't know you were like super, super, what, trilingual, quadlingual?
Yes.
What do you call that?
But it's easier when you have the base of those Latin languages.
That's very true, yeah.
Which was helpful, but definitely being in Milan was helpful for that. I will say I love the way that Italians act when you, and the way that they interact with you when you're speaking to them in Italian, because even if you're doing okay, they'll encourage you to keep speaking so you can develop your language. They'll correct you super politely.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very, that made it a little bit easier.
Yeah, I felt that when I was over there too, because when I was by myself, I was definitely trying my hand at speaking in Italian, and they were so warm and just like giggly and bubbly with me because they're like, oh, that's so cute. Like she's like traveling by herself. She's actually doing, you know how too, like I think that sometimes Americans have this rep when they go abroad to like, especially like places like Paris and, you know, France and Italy and all over. And when they don't even give a try at the native language there, where we're kind of often like always speaking English, and I've heard people tell me like, oh, like I'm so surprised, like you're an American and you're actually like speaking it and like not too shabby, you know. And I was like, thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah,
but it's true. And I mean, you're very fearless in that sense too, which is really cool, because it's intimidating. You're in another country and you're doing, you know, your best, you're trying to communicate and get around. And so it is really courageous.
I want to start with your early 20s and your career path. I know we spoke a little bit yesterday about how you eventually left your corporate life at 23, but what was early 20s like for you? I know you were in fashion and definitely had self-awareness on like your interest in that. Can you mm-hmm. dive into how you eventually got into that before you left? Because I think a lot of people struggle with, and would definitely dive into like even where you're at now, but like just figuring out, okay, what's like the next step based on what I'm interested in or what I'm good at?
Early 20s are always a really interesting time.
Yes. And
I had just moved back to New York from Miami, where I spent the I grew up there.
Yeah.
And so I was navigating going to school. One really great aspect of where I went to college, I went to LIM, and it's a business school for fashion.
Oh, wow.
So it's really, really insightful and interesting, and it helps you understand the scope of fashion as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
One element of it that I really loved, not at the time, but now that I look back, is that they require you to take a different internship every season, semester of college.
Wow.
So, and it can't really overlap. So they encourage you to try a new company, no matter how happy you were at your previous one, try something new, surround yourself with new people. And so that's how I got started in fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And I went from PR to sales, which was interesting because they are two completely, I mean, they work in tandem, but they're two completely different elements of the business.
Yeah.
And so I had been doing sales for my last internship of school. And I want to go back for a sec. So I always knew that I wanted to work in fashion.
Okay.
I always knew that it was something I really loved.
Okay.
It was an industry that brought me happiness and, and curiosity, which I think is really important. I didn't know what I wanted to do within it.
Okay.
And going back to what we said, what we were speaking about even yesterday, there's some people that just know.
Yeah.
They know and they're good, right? Mm-hmm. So you meet that one friend that works in PR and you're like, of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is where, this is your place in fashion or in your industry. And I really didn't know. And I experienced a few different jobs and different internships. And it took me really until I met my now husband to see somebody that was so confident in the choice that they made, in what they want to work, the industry that they want to work within, to realize that I was still searching for what I wanted.
Yeah.
And that was okay.
Yeah.
That's so fine. And it doesn't have to happen when you're in your early 20s or your mid 20s. Sometimes it can happen when you're in your 40s and your 50s.
Yeah.
Even later than that. So when I first started, actually, I'll tell you this. This is a funny story. My first internship was at a PR agency. And it was great experience because I was working with the clothing. I mean, it was also very funny because now that I look back, I think my first task ever in fashion was to organize a closet of hangers. And I'm telling you, it really start in fashion, it really starts like this. There are very mundane tasks that somebody has to do.
Yeah.
But what that teaches you is that no job is too big, no job is too small.
Right.
And especially going into owning your own business where, as you know, you're really doing everything.
Yeah.
And you're doing intern work at any stage.
Yeah.
And and that's the beauty of it too, because it's important to have that element to yourself. My favorite word actually is humility. And I think that you need to be humble in this industry, in every industry, but especially if you're a business owner.
Yeah.
That's something that I hold very close to heart.
Right.
So I started working at this, this PR office, and from there I met a lot of editors that were working at various publications within fashion. So my first real interaction was with Vanity Fair. I became friendly with one of the fashion editors there, and that was my next internship. From there I interned at Chanel in the beauty and fragrance division, and I actually received this through a contact at Vanity Fair. So I think it's just about, really, to answer your question, establishing those connections, showing up, doing a great job, because you have to, you know, show up as who you are, and you have to be reliable and the person that, I mean, you never know who you're going to meet.
Right. Right.
And so that's how I got into the industry, I will say.
So fast forward, you took a leap at the age of 23.
Yes.
You quit your job and you decided to go down the entrepreneurial path.
Yes. And I wish there were a warning sign.
Yeah. Like I would love for you to like dive into the things that you learned in that process. What was your thought process in leaving? Like what made mm-hmm. you feel like this is the right next step?
So that's a great question. I think that I was very young.
Yeah.
Very young. And I knew in my head, I said, it's now or never really, which isn't really true. But in my mind at that moment, it was because I said, I have the opportunity now to try.
Yeah.
To try, you know, and why not? Let me see how it goes. Mm-hmm. I can always start again, going back to humility. I don't mind starting from ground zero and, you know, not picking up where you left off because it's difficult.
Right.
But I said, this is the time. So I told you yesterday, but I resigned at my corporate job. Mm-hmm. I was working in sales. Mm-hmm. And I went home and it was actually springtime, ironically enough. We're recording in the spring.
Yeah.
I went to the rooftop of my building and I looked at the abyss, you know, very dramatically. Yeah. And I thought, either what have I done or what a great choice.
Right.
And that moment of fear and excitement, it's really unique.
Yeah.
And I think every entrepreneur has mm-hmm. that. I started this next season and next chapter of my life mm-hmm. with my now husband again.
Yeah.
And he's always been an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And it was a really interesting observation for me and to kind of see him in his element and see him he had an office on 68 Green Street mm-hmm. and it was a beautiful loft and he would go there every day. So I started going there with him every day mm-hmm. and we started working together, which was really cool.
Yeah.
And he kept his sense of independence and autonomy within his business. And I kind of came in and we developed this new business together, which was cool. Mm-hmm. And we did that for a few years before starting our own brand.
Right.
And you know, it's not as easy as everyone says because you don't know how much goes into it.
Yeah.
You don't really understand how things are done and you have to really be fearless. Mm-hmm. You have to be okay with making mistakes.
Yeah.
Curious.
Yeah.
And kind of be ready for a roller coaster all the time. Mm-hmm. Because as you know, being an entrepreneur, mm-hmm. the highs are really high, but the lows are really low.
Yeah.
And you have to be okay with that.
Yeah.
So when you're switching from corporate to working for yourself, you just need to know that your problems are not going to go away. Mm-hmm. They're just going to change. Yeah. So, and you'll learn how to navigate those, but there's a learning curve for sure.
Okay. Now, like years later, do you feel like even though, because it's interesting, I had a similar mentality when I left my corporate job. And even in the early days of thinking about starting my now marketing agency, I was like, well, it's going to be much easier to pivot if I do this earlier than later. Because I think like the more years you have in a corporate job or the more years you have like down the road where you have investments in certain things or just more responsibilities, it gets a little bit emotionally harder, I think, to separate, right? So looking back, do you feel like it was a better idea to be able to do that at such a young age?
Yes.
You know what I mean? Even though, yes, like you can still, of course, like do this at any age, but there are perks to jumping early and having that window of, like, I think like when you're younger, less responsibilities, you know, less lower cost of living compared to like years later. So like, what are your thoughts now looking back?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That you, what's the expression? You hit the nail on the head.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's absolutely true. I mm-hmm. mean, when you're in your early 20s, more often than not, you will have less financial responsibility. Mm-hmm. You're finishing school, so maybe you have those student debts to consider, mm-hmm. but you most likely aren't married and have children that you need to send to school, and it's a little bit more relaxed, and so you can take that chance then mm-hmm. rather than taking it when you have a family.
Yeah.
When you have a family, when you have children, when you have a financial obligation that's bigger than you, mm-hmm. and you can do it, but it's just definitely, it's going to weigh more. It's going to be more challenging.
Yeah.
But I do agree with that.
What are some of the like, I guess initially the first couple of years when you were finally like doing this business with your husband and also, or your now husband at the time, I know boyfriend, but what were some of the learning curves that you feel like really stood out when it comes to not just entrepreneurship, but I think almost like a mix of figuring out your career in your 20s and naturally comes with the territory of like building something for yourself?
One thing that I really loved about, I mean, working with my boyfriend at the time, but even just working with one other person, it doesn't have to be a partner, is that you're constantly collaborating.
Yes.
You're constantly throwing ideas out there and saying, what if we did this? What if we did this? And you can do it on your own, but it's definitely easier when you have somebody that's done it before. And somebody that knows you and knows your strengths, so you guys can work off each other in that sense. Going back, I think, or I should say looking back, I think it was just trial and error. Take whatever worked, make it tangible, and implement it into the business. And so that's, I would say, to answer your question, probably more trial and error. And never, what I did was that I never stopped trying to learn or challenging my curiosity. And that's what led me even to the world of health. I think that being curious and constantly being a student of your practice, of the world, it sounds silly, but it's true. That's what will keep you curious and will aid your business in whatever you choose to do. Because like I told you yesterday, I didn't know exactly what it is that I wanted to do. I also, in one sense, don't think that you need to limit yourself to one industry. I think you can do a little bit of everything, and and it can work out really beautifully. But you have to be curious.
And I feel like that was like a big, like, aligned takeaway that I had from our convo yesterday. I was like, oh, I feel like similarly, both of us were very curious in, you know, just throughout the years of like, oh, I, you know, I like this and I like this and I'd be curious to explore this part, you know? And I think just observing through my own girlfriends, a lot of them don't, or just people in general, I think in their 20s, even in the city like New York, sometimes stay very linear in what they're doing because it's just routine at that point, right? Like for you to go from fashion and then also explore health, and then now to build a new business, a new project off of that is amazing. And I think a lot of people don't know how to like keep that part of them as an individual afloat. Like, what did you do? Because I also love, like, I, by the way, side tangent, I actually picked up the book on Amazon, the book that you were reading yesterday. Yeah, I went and got it. Because you told me about it and I was just like, this is like, oh, this is so curious. And I love reading. I'm a curious person always. I'm always trying to just like learn and be a student of all things because I think there's just so much. And, you know, for example, I don't have a TV at home. I haven't had a TV in years. And I think for that reason, people always go, what do you do like in your free time? And I'm like, I'm actually always kind of working, but like these things won't appear like work to you. Like I might be like shooting content or something. And I'm like also learning photography. Like I'm learning to do like street photography, you know, like stuff like that. And I feel like that's similar with you when you're sharing, like, you know, that led to your interest in health and like going down that route. Can you share a little bit of that? Cause I did want to dive into, you know, like what has led to you, to your new project as well.
So I love that you don't have a TV app. I love that. The most I thought about this on the way here, and I thought about this after we left each other yesterday. The most important relationship you will ever have in your life is with yourself. Ever. You go to sleep with yourself every night. You wake up, you look in the mirror, and it's you. And if you're, even if you're in a relationship or even if you're so happy at your job, if you don't continue your personal growth and personal development as a person, how are you supposed to show up for anything in your life? 100% You know? And so that's the reason that book that you're talking about, it's Centering in the Art of Intimacy by Gay Hendricks and I believe his wife. So great, great book. And it reminds you that your relationship with yourself is everything. So back during COVID, we were all at home. Crazy to think that it's 4 years now, by the way.
Yeah, I was about to say the same. I was like, I can't believe it's been 4 years.
4 years last month. Crazy. But it was COVID and everyone was either, I think there were two ends of the spectrum. You were either really healthy or you were having margaritas at 11 a.m. Like there was no,
that's actually very true.
There's no in between. And so at the beginning of that, we were, my husband and I, we were, you know, walking around Brooklyn where we live, coming home, cooking, reading, watching the news, you know, doing whatever you could do. And I thought, this is a great time for me to peek up on any interest that I have.
Yeah.
So I started reading more about nutrition. My family's been into the health space for a while. I'll say my grandparents on my mom's side, they're in their 90s and they are the healthiest people.
Wow.
I know. Yes. They're, I mean, incredibly healthy. My grandmother has been practicing Chinese medicine for ages.
Yeah.
And so I got into that. I started studying at the Integrative School of Nutrition, which was really interesting and a very different approach to health than the standard, you know, Westerner practice.
Yep.
And so after that, I realized, and it is quite literally like a light switch turned on in my head. This is what brings me joy. This is what brings me happiness. I need to do something within this field. But I will preface this by saying, it's really important to going back to that relationship with yourself to really understand what you want to do, because you either want to take this passion and make it a career,
right?
Or you want to keep it a passion. It doesn't have to be a career path.
Right.
It can also just be something you love to do.
Yeah.
Because painting for pleasure, maybe that changes for you. Maybe it goes from being therapeutic and you do it for pleasure. Then when you're doing it for profit, you know, or to make a living, maybe that relationship with your craft is going to change.
Yes.
And so you really need to learn about yourself. So I did learn that I really love it, and I loved it enough to make it a part of my life.
Wow.
And with that, I meditated on what to do with that love and with that passion. And it took 3 years from that point for me to realize that I want to make it something that I can share. And that's what the project that I'm working on now is.
What was that, like, what was that gut feeling like? Because, and I asked you because I've had that myself in like my podcast, especially in a lot of things that I do today. I was just like one of those, this is what lights me up and I'm going to play with it like craft, you know, like a kid, but also learn how to monetize it in some way. And that's where the business brain comes in. And I feel like that there was a crossroad for you, right? But I think so many people are always asking me, and I don't always quite know how to explain it in words, but the aha moment of like, how do you know this is what you wanted to do? Because everyone always thinks I have things figured out. And while externally it can appear that way, I think like it was just a lot of curiosity and going, oh, like this is something that could turn to this. And this is something I'm great at. I take feedback. I take like, you know, observations. I mean, I listen to myself, you know, editing all the time. So I notice when I'm doing well or if this is not right for me. Like, for example, I tried YouTube at one point in college. I'm like, yeah, I'm just not a vlogger, you know. But then podcast came along. I'm like, oh, this is better for me. It's like a better format, right? What was that feeling like for you? Like that gut feeling of, this is something to move forward with versus like, oh, like, you know, maybe another thing you've had before where it's like, okay, I really enjoy this, but this isn't quite it to work with.
I think what that moment was for me was just realizing that everything around it was working seamlessly. Kind of the universe was conspiring to make it happen.
Yeah.
And sometimes you really need to listen to those signs and be very intuitive and listen. It's funny because I tell my mom this all the time. I'm like, I know the universe is trying to tell me something, but I don't like what it's trying to tell me. So I'll close my ears and look for the other signs.
Yeah.
You know? And genuinely, if you sit in stillness, if you do what you love, and if you listen, you'll know. Sorry to repeat the word, but it is intuitive.
Yes.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
So just listen and be open-minded, probably.
Yeah. quick side tangent on like intuition and like just knowing, but did you have that feeling when it came to relationships as well? And obviously knowing that you're now husband at that time, and you were dating him since you were 23, right? Yeah. Ish. So like that's an earlier age, especially when you're in New York and like you dive into a relationship and then it ends up being like the long-term one. What was that process like for you? A lot of girls always ask me on the podcast, like, just the whole navigation of intuition with career. And then this is a toxic female friendship, and then like leaving them behind, and then also knowing he's the right guy to align with. And you know what I mean? But a lot of times I hear often a lot of founders and a lot of just guests on my show who are married have shared a lot of like these intuitions and these like knowings and on both their career and their relationship. And so I'm always fascinated by like how you see that theme and all domains of life.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. And it's really important to work on yourself because your intuition will be so loud when you've done the work and you've shown up for yourself and you know who you really are, which takes time. It's not something, definitely I didn't know who I was in my 20s, and maybe, you know, I still don't know today, but I have a better idea because I take good, I take really good care of myself emotionally. Which is why I think intuition is so clear when you're doing those things. But so I would say that when I was in my earlier 20s, I didn't always listen to my intuition. And that's a good and a bad thing because in one sense, you learn by making mistakes, right? So whether that's through friendships or really, or, you know, unsuccessful relationships, but it also leads you to finding the right people.
Yeah.
And I also think that there is this idea of the perfect relationship that is so dated.
Yeah.
Because what is it that they say? Love is about two imperfect people coming together and creating this perfect situation.
Yeah.
When that's not really true.
Yeah.
I really think that love is about two whole, complete, emotionally responsible people that come together, and together being those things individually can create a beautiful place for love to grow. And the base of the relationship that you have should be based on friendship. That should be the base. And your intuition will always, I would hope, it would lead you to abundant friendships, friendships that can turn into romantic ones.
You know, I've always heard about the foundation of every romantic relationship should be friendship, should be based in friendship, you know? And I think that's something, I mean, we talked a little bit about like modern society yesterday and just how like a lot of things have, you know, evolved. But I think it, these small nuggets of wisdom are like evaporating in kind of these conversations, you know, it's it's a lot of these, you know, like game playing, like be the, what was it yesterday? Be the golden retriever.
Be the golden retriever.
You know, or like the black cat or something. I don't know. There's always like these like different like furry animal analogies. And it's kind of like, well, what about like healthy security? Or even the thing too, which is actually one of the things I loved about why I was curious about this book, because you mentioned something around, I don't know if it was within the book or something that you just learned in general, but about like being able to separate from your partner, right? And I've always been an advocate for that. I think as an entrepreneur and being very independent in my early 20s, and also having experienced what lack of independence or emotional independence looked like in a former college relationship was like eye-opening. Like, okay, you must learn how to have healthy separation. But like, what did you learn from that? And whether it was that book or just in general about relationships, especially as you grew in your 20s, and why that's so important for women. Because, you know, I think every individual needs to have that balance, but I think a lot of women need to be encouraged by other women on why that ends up being so healthy. And I think you're a great example of that because you are married. And of course, like there's natural ups and downs and like normal conflicts in everyone's relationship. But it's like these learnings, like in my eyes, I always see like people who have these experiences that I don't experience yet. Like I'm not married. Like there's certain things I just don't know. Right. And it's always like sharing that wisdom to the younger sister, or you know what I mean? Like the, okay, I lived a little more than you. I do know this much. Yeah.
So it was the book, by the way, that talks about it talks about how important it is to separate And not, it's not a negative thing.
Yeah.
It's really about, okay, let's say you have a 20-something-year-old girl, a 23-year-old girl who's in a new relationship.
Yeah.
Of course, every weekend she's going to want to be with her partner and going out for dinner or traveling and spend 24 hours together.
Mm-hmm.
But the beauty of love, the beauty of a relationship is that you can go and spend 24 hours apart or travel and be gone for weeks at a time. And when you come back, that love, of course, is still there.
Yes.
And you shouldn't be afraid. And in the book, Centering in the Art of Intimacy, it talks about how there's this fear, right? Mm-hmm. That when you come back after a week or 3 days or even a night that you're not sharing dinner together, there's this fear that the love will be gone or the love will be less or the love will go to someone else who was there.
Yeah.
And that's just not true.
Yeah.
And, you know, that probably does come from experience and from maturing, being an emotionally mature person.
Right.
And you don't have to wait until you're in your 30s to be emotionally mature.
Totally,
which I didn't know that. I was very insecure. I still am. I think everybody is, and it's natural.
Yes.
But I think that when you're young, if you have access to people and to literature and maybe some married friends that have been around the block and know a little bit, it's a little bit less intimidating.
Yeah.
And how cool is that? I always think, imagine being 23 today.
Yeah.
I mean, you're
27.
Yeah, you're 27.
Yeah, yeah.
But imagine being 23 or 22 and going into a relationship with self-respect, with a crazy level of self-respect and emotional maturity. That's really cool.
Really cool.
Really cool.
Yeah. And that's the funny part, too, is like I feel like that's been my quote unquote life hack over these years is I'm always asking people who are not like parents' age, but like somewhere between 5-10 years older than me, been through, you know, the ringer a little bit more than me and like know a thing or two. And I see like these common themes, right, which is definitely one of them being around independence, you know, healthy emotional independence, which helps towards like self-security, and then later on like self-respect, because sometimes like I've seen it so much in today's day and age too. It's like some people will stay in dynamics where they're not respected, or, you know, unfortunate things where because they didn't come in with that understanding of, you know, self-respect and self-love and healthy boundaries, like they stay within these dynamics. And then for me, I think I was very lucky. I was tuning into like Tony Robbins when I was in college.
And oh, wow.
Yeah. I was super young. I was like 21. And that's when I learned a lot of, and that's actually why I started this podcast, because I realized a lot of our fulfillment comes from our relationships. And however, though, the health of the relationships, right? Because really bad ones will make you feel really shitty, even if you're going to a job you love, but you wake up and you know you're still in conflict with someone, like even if it's a girlfriend or a partner, it's gonna like bring you down. And you know, and vice versa, like if you're feeling like that, those buckets are filled, you feel really excited, you're glowing differently. And so I learned that from a young age, and I think though, even though that learning curve was very early, I'm still always trying to pick up these different things of like, oh, like, you know, these people have been together for X amount of years. They know a thing or two about like navigating the bumps along the way.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's important for, you know, especially my podcast, a lot of young women in their early mid-20s are listening to this. And so they're always navigating a little bit of everything. And that's why I like bring these topics up, because I think it's like the more you hear this repetitively, the more it kind of gets planted in your head, like, ah, like a good reminder. And next time they're in a situation where they're like, oh, you know, I need to be okay with separation from my partner for a weekend, or you know, like small things like that, because like, oh, I heard these two girls talk about it on the podcast and one's married, so that must work.
I promise it does.
Yes. No, absolutely. How else did you create independence for yourself though, in like, as a, you know, we talked about this yesterday too, like as a woman, just like the inner work, and outside of just, you know, emotionally within relationships, but also just as a person, like in your career and in your interests and in health and also like your project?
So I'm going to give you a very unconventional answer.
Yeah.
I
love that.
I really think that therapy is huge.
Yeah.
And I think therapy is huge whether you are the happiest person on the planet or whether you are struggling big time. Because so many people look at therapy as, you know, I'm going through a really hard time right now. I need somebody to talk to.
Yeah.
But sometimes, and I would say 90% of the time, therapy is important because when you are in those brilliant moments of your life where everything is going well, you're going to have somebody saying, great, what's working for you? What are you doing right now? They're going to ask you questions and get you speaking.
Yeah.
So I think first and foremost, if you do have therapy available to you, and I know that there are companies right now that you can even do online therapy, I think that that's huge.
Yeah.
Huge. Other than that, I would say really, really loving, this is so corny, but really loving yourself and loving yourself for all of the things. So whether you, you know, maybe you're insecure because you think that maybe you didn't, you know, have as huge of an education as somebody else that you know that you work with, or maybe you're feeling a little bit insecure in just because you're a woman in your early 20s and it's normal.
Yeah.
And I think that nurturing yourself and reading and surrounding yourself with people who make you feel good, I think those are the things that you should be doing.
Yeah.
So much of the time, you want, well, I won't generalize, but I'll say it's really common to want to be the most interesting person in the room.
Oof.
Right?
Yes. And I feel like it's so like trendy on social media to like be the main character. Like this, like you're the main, right? We had good laughs about this yesterday. Yeah, and I loved it because I was like, someone gets it. I swear, like I'm not the only one that thinks this stuff is like really far-fetched.
Exactly. No, you're right. And they say, you know, be the most interesting person in the room and you feel confident. I don't want to be the most interesting person in the room. If I'm the most interesting person in the room, I'm probably in the wrong room.
Yeah.
I want to be with people that make me feel curious and that get me talking and asking questions.
Yes.
And so I think that's, if I was in my early 20s again, this is what I would want to hear because this is what I hear now and I wish that I did before.
Yeah. What were some activities you later on like developed by yourself, like that you were doing that you noticed now had it, like the compound effect of being positive in your life, whether that was, you know, being like consistently going to the gym or going to certain workouts or consistently, we talked about it in like relationship dynamics, like making time to go out with friends, even if you live with your partner, or even if, you know, you've been with your partner for many years and you're in a routine where you always like spend every weekend together. It's like learning how to still carve out time with other people and have your own independent life. Like how, like what were some of those actions you took to continue to be Adriana?
So I will say, because no one is perfect, especially in the beginning of my relationship, I did have a hard time balancing my friendships and my personal activities that I love to do.
Yeah.
Because I was in a new relationship with somebody who was a very curious person by nature and was always doing very interesting things, very different than what I was doing at the time, especially because he is Italian. And so even just the cultural background there, it's maybe it sounds silly, but there is a difference in any case in the way that, you know, he grew up versus the way that I grew up.
Yes. Yes.
And so it was really interesting, especially coming from previous relationships that I had had, whether it's also, by the way, friendships or romantic ones.
Right.
To have somebody saying, are you going to hang out with your friends? Are you going to go see your girlfriends? Were you guys going to have a girls' night?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because, it
was so healthy, too.
It was very healthy.
Yeah.
It was really, really healthy. And I think that, in any case, that's a very important part of it. I think that it took me a bit. It took me a bit to kind of get back to myself. I think I call this the Brad Pitt effect because Brad Pitt adapts to his girlfriend's hair styles.
There's this hilarious
meme. I'll show it to you after. And so I think that a lot of women adapt to their, or I won't generalize, a lot of people adapt to their partner's lifestyles.
Yes.
So whether it's their friend group or their activities and what they like to do.
Yeah.
So there was a learning curve where I was doing that. But then at the end of the day, there are still things that I love to do with my girlfriends. Like maybe we'll go to a ceramics class.
Yeah.
Or we'll go to a workout together.
Yeah.
And or even, I mean, I'm an only child, so I love doing things by myself personally. I'm very grateful for that because there are people that have a hard time being alone.
Right.
And I love being alone.
Yeah.
Whether it's something silly and, you know, just going for a walk by myself. I'm a big proponent, and I will say this, and this changed my life. I romanticize everything about life.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
So whether it's in the morning and you're playing some bossa nova, some music at home, and you have, you know, candles, and maybe you light some sage or you light whatever it is, sage. Doing those things.
Yes.
Taking care of yourself, because that's what it is.
Yes.
I think that's something you should never stop doing.
Mm.
Always. Again, relationship with yourself is the most important one.
Yeah.
I can't show up for my marriage, for my job, or for my friends, or for my family if I'm not taken care of. Period. Yeah. And so I think you have to keep taking care of yourself.
Yeah. Did it take you some time to draw that boundary with, like, for example, I think a lot of people struggle with getting invited to, you know, go out and do this and go and do this thing with the social circle, right? And then you realize at some point, like, I need to create space for myself to have that individual time to fill, you know, in my case, it's like fill Emily's bucket, right? How, like, what did that look like for you? Because I'm always fascinated to hear, like, everyone's, like, journey towards, like, all right, this is where I create space for me. This is how I balance my week with me time, partner time, girlfriend time, you know, whatever time, right? Because sometimes people just end up doing, like, all, like, saying yes to everything. And then, like, 2 years later, they're like, where did I go? Right? You know what I mean? It's like who am I again? You know what I mean? Because, like, you just forget, like, your sense of self.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Wow, filling your own bucket.
Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah.
I think it also depends on the kind of person you are. I would assume that you're extroverted because you are, I don't know, just the way you are. You're warm and you make people feel comfortable and get people speaking.
Yeah.
But there are introverted extroverts.
Yes.
Which is what I think I am.
Yeah.
Which is I can be in this situation, but then I need an hour to myself or a night to myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really listening to that. FOMO is not easy, especially when you're young and all of your friends are going out and, you know, you're sitting there debating, like, should I go out tonight?
Yes. Yes.
So it's picking and choosing. I think that the most important thing is to make sure that if you're going out that night or that afternoon, you want to feel great.
Mm-hmm.
So do whatever you need to do to feel good when you do go out, whether that's staying home and recovering or dedicating time to work.
Yeah.
Some people feel so invigorated. They spend the whole day working and then they have, you know, the end of their day and they're ready to go and they're pumped because they just put all of that energy into something.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's finding out what your, I guess, what your gas is, like how you recover.
Yeah.
What fuel you need for your tank.
Yeah. Do you feel like all of that inner work and that personal development enabled you to feel confident? For example, we talked actually a little bit about, you know, the gutsiness of just going for that storefront in Paris, right? For your fashion brand and, like, doing things where people are often going to be like, how did that happen? Right. And everyone thinks it's like an overnight success and it's like not. Right.
Yes.
But, like, those just, you know, the gutsiness of, like, figuring it out and being like, yeah, like, we can do that. You know, like, do you feel like just having that sense of self helped contribute to the confidence of doing these things that people naturally think are, like, gutsy and, like, where did that come from? You know?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I also think fake it till you make it is so true in the sense of, even if you have imposter syndrome and if you feel that you can't, pretend you can. Just pretend you can. Pretend you can do it. Pretend you can make the scary phone call.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you're going to meet somebody, maybe that's in your industry, who's really intimidating. Meet them with your shoulders back and shake their hand really tight and just pretend that you own it.
Yeah.
Because that will translate.
Yeah.
And yes, I mean, anything in business especially can be really intimidating. And especially if you're talking about consumer packaged goods, like what you have and your business in general. If you just fight the fear or what is it? Feel the fear and do it anyway.
Yeah.
That's the secret.
Yeah.
You just have to do it, because the worst thing that can happen is that you know, it doesn't work out. Maybe it fails.
Yeah.
But then what? You're going to live in that feeling forever?
Yeah.
No, you're going to pick yourself back up and you're going to try again.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's the secret.
Are you taking that mindset and approaching that with your wellness cafe as well?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I am. I think it really helped that my partner, my life partner, is very courageous in business. Mm-hmm. And he's kind of been, you know, I learned so much from him over the past few years.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also the person who's pushing me. And every day that, you know, maybe I had a really hard day and I don't even want to think about the wellness part of the business. Yeah. He's like, did you do this? Did you do this? And mm-hmm. having that is really beautiful.
Yeah.
I think I feel very lucky to have that. But I am taking that mentality with the specialty. We were thinking yesterday what to call this.
Yeah.
Like the specialty store.
Yeah, specialty store, specialty cafe.
Specialty cafe. And I am taking it with that. I think that now I'm going into it with a few years of experience under my belt of projects that did really well, maybe projects that are on pause, yeah. maybe projects that didn't, you know, go one way and went the other.
Yeah.
And so what is really cool is that I'm taking my learnings, even from my current companies,
mm-hmm.
and applying it to this place
mm-hmm.
with fear.
Yeah.
But when you meet me, no fear, right?
Yeah.
Because it's
yeah.
behind the scenes a little bit.
Right, right. Yeah. And I love that you share that rawness, right? Because mm-hmm. so many people, like we talked about, when it comes to entrepreneurship, everyone wants to be one. You know, or they think it's easier said than done.
Mm-hmm.
They don't understand, you know, half the time you are funding the whole thing yourself. Half the time you're trying to find investors, again, depending on the type of business. And so I think it's important for people to hear like the different elements that each person is actually navigating.
Yes.
Like in life. And I think that's why this is like called What Fulfills You, because I see that there are so many different buckets in life that we are managing.
Yes.
You know, in the same, just on a day-to-day basis, right?
Yes.
And that is the reality. It's not that, okay, you have successful business and then it's like, okay, what's the behind the scenes on the relationship, right? And I think it's like also vice versa. Like a lot of people are only sharing kind of one highlight of the life. And I've always been curious about, okay, if they're doing so well here, is there anything that they're like navigating, or is there anything that's mm-hmm. harder for them to work through? You know?
Yeah. I mean, I think that it's always a dance.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing is perfect.
Yeah.
Everything is trial and error. Everything mm-hmm. is, I don't know, in real time.
Yeah.
And I think that relationships are not perfect. Businesses are not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Being an entrepreneur is definitely not perfect.
Yeah.
And it's just about your bounce back rate
mm-hmm.
and being graceful
yeah.
in the process.
Yeah.
Because how easy is it to be frustrated, to throw in the towel and to, you know, I give up.
Yeah.
I can't, whether it's a relationship or business or yourself.
Yeah.
And how quickly you can come back from that and realign and say, it was really hard,
but yeah.
tomorrow will be better. Mm-hmm. And then you know what? Go to sleep early,
yeah.
have dinner, take a great shower, an everything shower.
Yeah.
Go to bed early and wake up and start again. That's
yeah.
the beautiful thing, because you always have the next day.
Right.
So
right.
That's what I would say about that.
I feel like you've mentioned that your partner has also had great influence and alignment in kind of like both of your lifestyles.
Mm-hmm.
What's your reflection on like on that and like how relevant that is in a healthy relationship long term where you two align on certain things?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because like I can imagine maybe one's more of a risk taker and one's completely, you know, adverse to that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that can cause friction like 10 years down the line, right?
Yes.
You know what I mean? So I think
yes.
small intricacies, like I love observing that with people who, you know, are together long term and have been together for long term, because I think you start to see that, okay, this is great that we have these qualities, because without that, that might make the dynamic different
mm-hmm.
and harder to be together. Like, have you seen anything that plays well in that regard?
Yes, I think that, you know, we live together, we work together,
yeah.
we work out together.
Yeah.
So we do a lot together.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, again, it's important to keep your sense of independence as a person in the relationship, which I have and which he has.
Mm-hmm.
And that also translates to independence in business, meaning mm-hmm. we disagree all the time.
Yeah.
And it's about those disagreements and me working to understand his perspective and him working to understand my perspective.
Yeah.
And then using those two perspectives to make a decision that's going to benefit us both as business owners.
Yes.
I think that he does a great job at turning off.
Yeah.
And I'm still working on that.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And I would say at the end of the day, the most important element of a relationship, and this also refers to business relationships, since we are business partners in that sense, is having similar or the same values.
Yes. That's huge.
That's huge. Having similar values is everything. Mm-hmm. Or I would say even the same. Because you know that even though your thought processes may be different, the goal is the same one.
Yes.
And if that's all you have, okay, if that's all you have to start with, run with it.
Yeah.
Because that means at the end of the day, regardless if you're so different or not, you're going to always be working towards the same goal.
Right, right. Oh, that's so valuable. And I was actually like just about to ask you that too. Like, how important do you find aligned values in a marriage and long-term relationship?
Everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
From a marriage to female friendships.
Yes, friendships for sure.
Friendships, everything. And, you know, if you choose somebody as your life partner, then I think your values really should be very similar and reflective of each other and what you want in the future. Friendship is a little bit more difficult because sometimes you love a person so much and you're polar opposites.
Yes.
And you may have separate values, but there's just that kinship that ties you together.
Yeah.
And so friendships are interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do always wonder, like, long term, how well friendships or any kind of relationship dynamic can go if the friction ends up always being values, you know, because then you end up making different decisions. I feel like I learned from a young age that if people share the same values, then they will often make decisions from that place when push comes to shove.
Yes.
Right. And so if you're with a partner or with a girlfriend that you need to rely on and you operate from the same systems and values, it's easier to trust that person's judgment and et cetera. And like less friction will go on, you know?
Absolutely. And on that note, when I met my husband, I met him with a slew of friends that he had from, you know, years and years and years. And that shows so much integrity about a person.
Yes.
Lengthy friendships.
Yes.
And look, it's not, I disagree with the red flag, green flag, beige flag. I don't think you need any flags.
I love that. Yes.
And I think that, you know, you don't, just because you don't have a friendship from when you were in preschool doesn't lessen your value as a person. But definitely meeting somebody and hearing stories about when they were 17 or 15 or 30 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yes.
It's really great. And it teaches you also how to be a friend, which, by the way, I was not always the best friend. And luckily I married someone who values his friendships as family.
Yeah.
And so I learned friendship from this person. And now I have great friendships that I care about deeply, but it took me a long time. I'm 30.
Yeah.
And it took me until today to really give value to how important friendship is for you as a person.
Yeah. You know, a comment I'll never forget that he said when we met in Milan was about, because I think he's lived in many different places around the world and he has like connections in different places and he can always, like, the citizen of the world mentality, right? And how he can like reach out to people in like Canada, or if he's in Canada or like somewhere in France, like there's always a friend there. And I remember, like, I was like so young and curious. I was like 24 at the time, just like, oh, that's so good to know. And I'm like, I love having friends in different like countries too, like forget cities, like countries. Yeah.
You would love this. When he first moved to New York, so I'll butcher this story probably, but when he first moved here, he came in, like, didn't speak the perfect English. Now, I mean, he speaks better English than me, but didn't speak perfect English, I know he knew people, mm-hmm. but he didn't have the friendships that he had in Italy here. Yeah. So he really came here fresh.
Wow.
26. Yeah. I don't remember exactly. Yeah. No, maybe even younger. And he would have these dinner parties, which now we do at our house. Cool. But these dinner parties were great because he would tell, and this is true, people that have gone have confirmed with me. He would invite X amount of people, and to that person would say, you need to bring somebody who I've never met before and who these people have never met before.
Oh.
And that's who you can bring. So it would be a night, a dinner that he would cook, or most likely he was cooking. And there would be a bunch of people meeting for the first time. And today, these people are best friends.
Wow.
It's really cool. Yeah.
Wow.
That's a concept that I would say, if you are in your early 20s, do that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That is impressive, because for me, I've always fundamentally believed that what fulfills each person is ultimately the health of our relationships.
Yes.
Right? You know, it's like you can have a job that you love, or whatever, career, anything that you love, and you wake up, but if you're in conflict or in a really bad zone with a girlfriend mm-hmm. or a business partner or even your life partner, right? You don't feel as good going to work, or you don't feel as good even going to the gym, because you're like mad because like it's still in a bad, you know, vibe, right?
Yes.
And so it's like the strength and health of our relationships to me has always been so vital. And I remember like just hearing these small comments along the years of like, oh, you know, just being able to have friends in this country and being able to have these connections and keep them over the years. I was like, like that is, once again,
mental note.
Yeah, mental note, a good theme to have. But I guess to kind of like wrap things up, what is one or two piece of advice you have for a young girl in her mid-20s right now? Let's say she lives in New York, and she's listening, and she's just, you know, curious about life, but something maybe you would even tell your younger self that maybe you wish you heard back then. It could be in any part of life. What would that be?
I think the one really important piece of advice that I wish that I would have received is, and maybe it sounds selfish, but take really good care of yourself. Really take care of yourself. Treat yourself with respect. Talk to yourself in a way that makes you feel good.
Yeah.
Even if you don't really mean it. And I know out of all the things we spoke about, maybe it doesn't make sense now, but I truly think even those relationships, like what you said just now about, you know, you're in an argument with somebody, and so even your workout's not that great, or you go into work and your head's cloudy and you're thinking about and replaying the situation. If you take good care of yourself and if you respect yourself, you're going to show up in relationships differently. And you're going to value those relationships in a really different way. And you know what? If you're probably not even going to want to have that tension and just say, did I hurt? I'm sorry if I did something to disrespect you. You know what? Why don't we grab a coffee? Let's move on.
And
it's that bounce back rate. So all of it is connected to yourself. If you want to make yourself the most interesting person in the room, or travel to an interesting place, surround yourself with compelling people, do the work yourself, focus on you, because the most authentic version of you will naturally attract all of that already belongs to you. So just focus on that. I would say.
I love that. That's a mic drop. That's such a mic drop. Okay, well, last question, something I ask every guest on the show. Yes. But in reflection of everything in your life and in your journey and your relationships, what would you say ultimately fulfills you in life?
Wasn't expecting that. What fulfills me? I think I want to say I'm leaning with the word experience, meaning to experience something, a place, people, relationships. Experience for me really, really fulfills me and brings me happiness. And it makes me feel content. It betters my relationship and my relationships. Experiencing people, experiencing this. I'm going to leave here today very fulfilled. Truly, because having these conversations and spending time together over, whether it's over a cup of coffee or around a microphone, I think it's what's going to fill your cup and feel good.
Yeah, Oh, I love
Thank
that.
you.
This was so insightful. I always think back to when I was in my early 20s and just like the conversations amongst women, I wish I heard. And like this is literally why I cultivate stuff like this and like why I thought of you, because I just like it still like lingers with me like Milan 2 years ago. I'm just thinking like how fun and just on like spontaneous that evening was, and I was just there like visiting. I really like knew no one and just like be was able to meet you guys, and it just like to me like those moments like I look I think about and I'm like, oh, like this is what I know other women are kind of yearning for, like to like learn from other people, to learn different nuggets, different wisdoms, different life lessons, and people only just a couple years ahead, because then it's like later on, it's like a domino effect is kind of how I see life, you know, like you can help plant that seed for the next generation or for someone a couple years younger than you, for them to do the same, and you know, hopefully the world like it kind of continues to spread energetically. So
I love that you're leading that, by the way.
thank
These
you.
kinds of conversations are so beautiful, and the fact that you're doing it is awesome. I wish that I had this. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Where can everyone find you in case they're curious about your social media or anything you want to share to
So
find anything that you're working on, whatever you
I
feel
was like,
comfortable with sharing?
I was thinking about this earlier. I said, what? I have five different handles. I don't know which one.
Whichever is your priority to share, or you want to get out there for people to learn more about.
So my personal Instagram is Adriana Neslowski, at Adriana Neslowski. Then my husband and I have a brand. It's Le Diplomat. So it's at Atelier Le Diplomat, or sorry, at Le Diplomat Official. Then I have at Rinascimento by Adriana, which is my health
Oh
coaching
my gosh, I had no
platform.
idea. That's so cool. Okay, we have to share
I'll
that.
share that. And then my last one is at Chez Cozy, which
Oh,
is going to be the specialty
so cool.
place.
Oh my god, I love the way you say these. It's like so elegant. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Thank you so much.
And that was all for today's episode with Adriana Neslowski, a fellow NYC-based entrepreneur, business owner, and also wellness gal. You guys really need to follow her wellness Instagram. She mentioned it at the end of the podcast, but it's also, once again, everything is linked in the show notes. For those of you who love inspiration on clean eating and overall wellness, her page has been amazing. To be honest, I had no idea this was something she did prior to the podcast, because I feel like she kind of separates her personal account, you know, then with her business and projects. And I've always been following her personal account, so I truly just had no idea that she had this wellness page, and I have been thoroughly enjoying it. It's really awesome. So, you guys definitely give it a follow. If you are based in New York, definitely give her Wellness Cafe a follow. Again, linked in the show notes, and excited for that to come, I believe, coming at some point next year. And please, as always, share some feedback on the episode. Let us know what you thought, your favorite takeaways. Share this with a friend. And if you share this on your Instagram story, please be sure to tag the Instagrams. The podcast Instagram is at What Fulfills You. My personal one is at Emily E. Duong. And you can find Adriana on different social accounts. All of it is linked in the show notes. Thank you again for tuning in to today's episode. I will chat with you all in the next one.